Cordial salutations to all new and returning listeners. If I gave you my business card drunk at a wedding recently, welcome.
Hello, hi. Hey, everyone. David here. Grant will be here momentarily. Thanks for joining us. What are we, post-show 128? What do we talk about today? Hot D. House of the Dragon, that is. Season 2 finale. The internet is wrought with controversy, and we're here to provide you the definitive take so that you can pass it off as your own. And then we get into something equally controversial, or something that should receive the amount of hate Hot D receives, My Hero Academia, specifically Season 7, Episode 12. And then we talk about Ripley. Grant and I are both watching that miniseries on Netflix. We're about halfway through, but we don't get into spoilers, so no worries. And then we talk about Deadpool and Wolverine. Same thing, spoiler-free review, but we get into it a little bit. Talk about The Elusive Samurai. I'm on episode 4. I'm one behind. Take it easy. I'll be caught up by next episode. And then we cover a bunch of news stuff. Stuff coming out. I think probably the really big thing is Robert Downey Jr. returning as Dr. Doom in Avengers, Joe and Anthony Russo set to direct, etc., etc. And then a little announcement towards the end of today's show. We're going to be covering a manga. That's right. To find out which, listen up, okay? Grant, hit him with that music. Hey there, Grant.
Hey, David.
What's up, dog?
Well, you know, just kicking back, podcast night, got my coffee, got my cans on.
Dude, I was at a wedding, because when am I not? But I was at a wedding this weekend, and a family member of mine, like, briefly brought up, like, well, he has a podcast, you know? I don't know if that happens to you, but then, like, all of a sudden, all these strangers are like... Really? Tell me what it is. Oh my god. And it's funny, if we were good salespeople, we would have like a solid elevator pitch on like, sure. Well, it's really about the intersection of art and, you know what I mean? But I still hate it every time. I don't know why when people bring it up. I don't want an elevator pitch, but you would be happy. I was feeling sociable. I was well hydrated. And
lubricated.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you this on because I saw you the following day.
Yeah.
I must have tossed out like a half dozen business cards.
Oh really?
With our QR code. Remember those business cards
we had? Yeah. I still put them in places. I still go into bookstores and put them in mangas.
That's gangster.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I was keeping my pocket. I remember I was like my winter jacket. I was moving it around and we have this. It doesn't really matter. The jacket fell off the coat rack, essentially, and a bunch of the cards fell out. I was like, oh, those ones went. So I kind of topped up my my little spot in the car. But, oh, yeah, dude. Anywhere I go.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, pop one in. But
free
advertising.
Yeah. So if you heard about us from the wedding, well, welcome.
Welcome.
Prepare to listen to us have some... I don't know if we're going to be in agreement or disagreement, but Hot D, House of the Dragon.
Okay.
I feel like we got to start with that, right? Finale just aired. I can't get away from it right now.
No, there's a lot of fervor. You know, it feels weirdly nostalgic reading about...
it reminds me of the end of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
People are so angry. It is interesting to watch the internet unite as like one angry mob. You know what I mean?
I think on a Free Folk post made its way to, you know, my front page or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't even follow it, you know, but they're just pushing it because, you know, I looked up at one House of the Dragon discussion thread. But anyways, it was just like, I think it was it's the scene from The Two Towers when Aragorn like bursts open the doors.
Yeah.
At Helm's Deep. And there's just a caption of like, didn't think I'd be back here, boys. I'm just talking about you. Didn't think I'd be back in Free Folk so soon or something like that. They're firing up their shit talking engines there this past couple days, which is just like it never doesn't make me laugh. Like it's all just like, you know, visceral and like super shitty comments, but some of them are pretty funny.
You know, It is a lot like the ending of Game of Thrones, but I gotta say, dude, like, okay, like, I don't know where you fall in this, but I don't think it's as bad as Game of Thrones was. And I think there's, like, reason to be let down a little bit, right?
Sure.
To be like, yeah. I'm a little disappointed with the finale and, like, how the season kind of went. But, like, the animosity and the hate and the, like, what? Do they even know what the fuck they're doing? It's like, okay, everybody, chill. And it's funny, it's funny coming from me because, like, I did really shit all over D&D for Game of Thrones, but I do think they kind of fucked that thing beyond recognition.
Sure.
This is, like, you know, a subpar season finale and, like, kind of a slow-paced season. But it's not an absolute disaster the way the internet seems to be reacting.
No, definitely not. It's interesting because, like, you know, we sat down for the episode, you know, I just poured Leanne and I a couple of drinks, you know, I already had one in preparation. I was all excited. I was, like, basically vibrating because I was like the show is about to begin. And I remember just looking at Leanne, I was like, it's going to get fucking bloody tonight. I can't wait.
Same, dude.
And then in the end, Leanne looks over, she goes, yeah, it wasn't very bloody, eh? And I was like, yeah. That sucks.
But, yeah.
No, I don't know, man. Like, as a whole, the season, I did like the season. I know there's a lot of, like, you know, you would have more insight to this because, like, I hadn't read any of the books at the time of Game of Thrones and all that, but, like, you know, and I haven't read Fire and Blood either, but, like, I have more of a sense of, like, the book community and the show community, and it just feels like at episode, like, 4, I mean, you know what, was it episode 6 where Rhaenyra kissed Missaria?
Yeah.
I think, you know, to no one's surprise, that's where, like, all the kind of the hate started really generating and firing up all that, but I don't, like, I know there's some changes, some difference. I know George R. R. Martin's throwing some pissy comments online. And, like, you know, at the end of the day, it was a little bit of a lackluster finale. I'll never say that. It wasn't bad, but they have truly set themselves up for, like, a wild third season, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, like, they've all the chess pieces are in place. It's just a matter of, like, enacting on those. And who knows? Like, maybe this third season, you know, I'm not going to give them the benefit of the doubt or whatever, because I don't think they've exactly earned it. Just kind of the way they kind of dragged us along this season. But, like, they could have full episode dedications to, like, these various conflicts, you know, that they've set up. Like, by the count, there's at least 5 major battles at place, like, different points around Harrenhal and at the sea and up in the sky. And then, you know, I don't know, dude. I think I am excited. I think it sucks we're going to have to wait 2 years. You know,
the timeline hurts. And I think that exacerbates how pissed off people are.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even entering early production until 2025.
No, I know.
That's kind of wild. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I want to be somewhat empathetic to, like, I can't imagine, you know, the amount of logistics involved and this and that. But, like, and I get it. Game of Thrones in general, like, the IP is a bit of an exception because, like, they are, like, it does feel like they're shooting small movies.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, recognize that. But, like, two-year breaks in a row, and the idea being, like, at the end of season one, like, you remember what everyone was saying, and it was like, holy shit, season two is gonna be a fucking bloodbath, you know, and it kind of was.
Yeah,
like, things did happen. But
episode 7 was a huge highlight, like, the whole, you know, like borderline silly at points, and kind of it is interesting to see, like, Rhaenyra kind of, like, this, like, you know, here's a word we haven't used in a while. A little bit of the zealotry, like, kind of like her own self gospel is kind of coming to fruition, like the legacy stuff or the legacy, but the dreams, you know, the Song of Ice and Fire and all that, where she's kind of really buying into that, and you kind of see there's a little bit of, like, a religious twist, which is isn't that surprising because Allison's always been, like, very religious. That's been a part of her character. The two of them are kind of, you know, two sides of the same coin in a lot of ways, but yeah, I don't know. It was just, like, you know, like, it's like you said, like, last season they ended with, like, Vhagar killing Luke, and, like, just there was just this, like, oh my god, I cannot wait.
Shit's gonna hit the fan. But then I think it's weird, right? Because we used to talk about how the end of Game of Thrones was kind of shitty because we're not shitty, but, like, there are some inconsistencies in the IP for both shows, in that sometimes when a character needs to travel, you see them set out on the journey, and then, like, their arc is, like, the journey and what they go through. And then by the end of the season or three or four episodes later, they like make it to where they need to be. Mm. And then sometimes it's like teleportation, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And that, I think, stands true in this. Like, sometimes it makes sense, sometimes it doesn't. I think it's basically when it suits the story, and like, that's yeah. fine. Mm-hmm. But I think also this season, like the, you know, the Damon plot, I actually really, really liked, but he doesn't do a whole hell of a lot.
No.
And also just, and the fact that his like character's like exploration, that whole thing is tied to the Blacks actually getting an army,
mm-hmm.
Means that it takes an entire season just for them to like have something. Like, how many of those small council meetings did you see where it's just like, if only we could do something? It's like, right, this is the yeah. season where we can't do anything. Yeah, pacing. I don't know. It's very peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw they're saying, you know, they're going to wrap it with season 4.
Yeah.
Which is probably good.
I did see a statistic yeah. today online saying by the end of season 2, they've covered 38%.
Bro, I got burned so bad by that. Yeah, dude,
me too.
Did yeah. you get hit by that?
Yeah, I looked at it.
It was on a House of the Dragon subreddit post. There was no spoiler. There was no nothing.
No.
What were they thinking? So I didn't get burned bad, but I like, okay, so to back up, what Grant's referring to is like someone made like a visual aid with major plot points being like, you know, season 1 covered like...
I thought they were just going to break it down, what we had seen so far in differences or something like that, and it was not. It was like what was to come.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be yeah. like a guide like you see for manga to anime adaptations where sure. it's like, oh, yeah. there, you know, there's 30 volumes and we've done 11, and in those, you know, like mm-hmm. it gets you through this many arcs. So I was anticipating that. The first bullet point is like major character dies. I was like, wait, what?
Another major character dies.
That was so frustrating. I only got one. But it's a major character. It's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, I got two.
Wow, that sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate that.
I literally texted Leanna. She's like, just tell me. I'm like, I can't. You got
to
come
back. I'm not going to do that to you, yeah.
I was like, she's like, no, I need to know. And I told her. She's like, oh.
yeah. Yeah. Are you happy I told you? No one's happy.
No one's happy.
The truth is plutonium. Nobody gets out clean. okay, but there
all
is...
in all, yeah, it was yeah. good. It was a good season. I think, you know, I think it had some high highs and some low lows. I don't think it was like the juggernaut the first season was, in my opinion.
I would agree with that. More peaks and valleys, yeah. less yeah. Consistently good.
Mm. You know what they didn't have though all the time was Paddy Considine. He like was the true glue of that first season. Like,
he really was, man.
Because he had the dynamic of all these people. He was literally the middleman, like keeping peace amongst, you know, the future Greens yeah. and Blacks. So like, you know, the loss of that, it was just, I don't know. It was like feel like the spine was taken out of the yeah. show a little bit.
I think I have a bit of a smoking gun, and I'm sure I'm not the first one to have this take. But for the record, I haven't seen many people have this take, and I'm 99% sure I'm correct in this next statement. So as we know, this is based off of Fire and Blood.
Yeah,
which I think I might have read, but when I was reading those books, man, it was like a haze. I think it was like one mm-hmm. of those things, like I fell in love with it and I just consumed everything.
Yeah.
But Fire and Blood was written as a historical account from a maester's point of view.
Mm.
It's not a character-driven drama.
It's not the POVs.
With POVs. Yeah. And I think that makes a gigantic difference. Because when you're adapting... characters from the books, I mean, you're literally lifting like copy out sometimes text, you understand their motivations, like sure you're welcome to change them in the move over to television, mm-hmm. but I think it gives you like a really good understanding of who feels what and what mm-hmm. people's motivations are, and you just don't get that from historical text POV, mm-hmm. and I think that might lead to some of this unevenness that we've seen with Allison's plot. Her character yeah. just didn't have a lot to do this season. And then that ending scene with Rhaenyra at the end. Of like,
I can't believe they went back to the well. But
they did go back to the well, and she kind of offers her son. And like the acting was fine. Like it was a good scene between two competent actors.
Mm.
But I just felt like the story there was a little thin.
Mm.
I didn't love it. I don't know.
I think for me, the big part of that scene was, you know, because... You know, like, I was reading, like, this whole story that they're trying to tell right now, with you know, which is going to be over 4 seasons, is only, I think, like, 128 pages
yeah.
in the book. Like, it's not even, like, the full, like, you know, it covers like a huge period of like Targaryen history, right? Like this is just like one kind of snippet in that. It's a massive book. So like, you know, and again, like you said, it's kind of accounts from a maester and this and that. And there is like a, in this scene with Rhaenyra and Allison, you know, Rhaenyra makes the point of like, history is not going to be kind to you. Mm. And it just kind of goes to show that like, you know, like it's, we don't know what is the real history. So like, I think that way I can wrap my head around the changes being made.
Yeah.
Even though like I haven't read, like I don't care. Like, you know, whatever I get is what I get. I'll read the book one day and, you know, I'll just choose what I liked from either like any other fandom or any other kind of fan. But, I don't know. It's just, I'm not as worked out about all the stuff they're changing. And I don't know. I'm just, it kind of puts Allison in perspective a little bit more by the end of the season there. Like, she didn't have much to do because maybe she did, like, she literally was being, you know, blocked out by the patriarchy, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, man. Low score of the series, IMDb 6.6.
For the finale?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, I'll just touch on a couple of teasers they did. Obviously, we see, like, at least 5 major armies being assembled. Mm-hmm. Aegon leaves town with Laerys. Aemon tried to compel his sister. How about Helaena finally getting some shit to do?
Yeah.
In the finale.
She's been back. It was good to see.
Yeah, it was interesting. And also her, like, ethereal weirdness. How, like, how she's so damn weird, but, like, maybe has seer-like tendencies. I thought that mm-hmm. was interesting. I mean, they spent an entire season setting up Daemon to make up his mind. And, like, I actually really enjoyed, I would say, the majority of what they did at Harrenhal, like the fever dreams.
I was going to say, did you dig the omen, or you know, him seeing into the future a bit?
I don't know. I'm a little bit torn on that. I think I mostly liked it. Like, I don't know. I don't know if we needed it to be so, and I'm not trying to be a dick here. I'm not trying to nitpick, but I don't know. It felt very on the nose.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, they could have made it, maybe left a little bit more of the imagination. I don't know if we needed to literally see Daenerys in a field of fire and, like, the Night King and all that. It's like, oh, so Daemon knows the end of the story. So that, like, I don't know. They maybe could have done that with a little bit more nuance.
Sure.
I felt like, I don't know, man. I liked the interaction between him and Rhaenyra.
Mm.
And I liked seeing him, like, try to actually lead.
Yeah.
I'm very, very, and you know, it kind of, they kind of foreshadowed his death. Like, you know, I'm curious to see where that leads. And will he have like a compelling and complete arc as a result of the choice that he's made? Will he falter later down the line? Like, I like that he's such a great character. I don't know if I love the vision, but then again, maybe it made sense to do some kind of vision with the weirwood trees. I've been telling Sam, and I swear I'm going to let you talk in a second.
Okay.
But every time they're at the weirwood trees, you know what I keep saying? And it feels so obvious they may not do it, or maybe they will. I don't know. But my prediction has been, like, I'm telling you, one of these days we're going to see Bran, like, watching through the histories, because that's what he does as Bloodring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's theoretically visited all trees throughout all time in order to see what was happening. So I was like, because every time they're there, they're like, he can technically witness the events of history through those trees. So I was curious about, like, oh, I wonder if they'll give him a little cameo to show that he knows about all this stuff. But I thought they did that this episode, but I was mistaken. It was just the funny Harrenhal guy. And they did not. Anyway, what about you and the Daemon plot specifically?
Like, it worked for me. I thought the aesthetic and, like, the scene itself of him kind of, like, communing with the tree, I thought was, like, you know, that was just a beautiful shot. Like, him kind of, the way, like, he almost looked like he was, like, putting his hand into mush. Like, he was, like, going into the tree, the effect. Like, I know it was just almost, like, blood trickling down, but it was a very good practical effect. But, I don't know, like, I know, it's funny because we almost felt like he was maybe there a little too long. Like, they kind of stretched out his whole experience there, but it's, like,
big time.
I was actually kind of shocked to see him, like, such a radical shift in him.
Yep.
You know, but I guess the argument being, I guess my counter to, like, my thought is, like, you know, you really kind of see him go through it in the decision where he kills Willem Blackwood And the Tully, you know, the Tully kid kind of has him, like, you know, in a vice grip of, like, do you want us or not? You know, you got to bend your knee a little bit.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see, like, where, you know, you can see the character change there. But, like, he sees the dream and it's just like, boom, you're like, I'm in. You know, like, it's, I feel like I would have loved a little more introspection and some analysis on his part, like, sitting alone in the room and trying to, you know, welling it over a little bit more. Even, like, maybe after that, like, another
scene. Could have had him talk about it with the witch or something. Or Viserys in his dreams. That's a great point.
That I would have loved to see that. And, you know, like, kind of like, I tried to tell you, da-da-da, you know, all this and that or whatever. But,
yeah, I don't know. I agree with you, though. You kind of want that inner turmoil to be a bit like a seesaw.
Yeah.
But it really felt like the whole season he was drifting towards his own claim.
Yeah.
And then he touches grass. And then... And then he's gone, no, fuck that shit, I got my wife.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the payoff was decent. I'm not, like, shitting all over it, but it, to your point, it probably could have been a little bit more optimized, right? Like, they probably could have maybe done that in a more complete way.
Yeah, I would, I just, you know, he's just, he is such a good actor, and he has such control of his face and his emotional range to see, like, to have him have, like, a real, like, an epiphany moment or, like, have that feeling flood over himself in private a little more, maybe. I think he really, like, he could have sold that, like, you know, big time. And I know they're cut for time, it was already a long enough episode and that kind of thing, but it's just, you know, it's you know, because that's the thing, like, that, you know, George R. R. Martin's talked about it, and, other, and, you know, like, people have talked about, like, how complex and a true great character Damon is. I want, like you said, that seesaw, that was perfect. I really want to see that fight. And I want to see the one side take over, not like a flick of a switch.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
you make a good point about Matt Smith's just acting capabilities in general. For the record, like, you needed someone really strong, I think, in all these really central roles. And he's been, despite how you feel about, like, how they used his character this season, he is a very solid actor.
Yeah.
Like, they need to really step it up for him. And that guy feels like he's going to be at bat for Emmys. Maybe even this episode, this season. Who knows?
He could be. He did all most of the stuff solo. It was like him and Simon Strong, you know, in scenes and Alice too and all that. But a lot of it was just him trying to, like, tripping out.
Yeah, I love that there, stuff. So. I love the, I don't know, the fever dreamy hallucinogenic vibe to Harrenhal. Mm-hmm. Is it the witch poisoning him? Is it the place? Is it him going crazy? Like, I did enjoy... Is it
his own guilt? Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, like, all the confusion. It probably was just stretched a little bit. Okay. Man, what do you want to talk about next? I've got, something else for you that we've briefly discussed, but we should probably get some anime in here.
Yeah. You just want to get My Hero out of the way, or?
Oh, we'll get it out of the way.
Okay.
Like, I posted something on our Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast, where you can also find us on, the TikTok. About, there's this really beautiful shot a couple episodes ago of Bakugo fighting, Tomura. Did you see that panel I put out?
I did, yeah.
That was
an
awesome shot,
yeah.
To be fair. And I think the caption was something like a really awesome shot from a Hello Mid show. I felt this most recent
episode. Forever punching down.
Yeah, dude. This episode that just aired this past Saturday would be season 7, episode 12. So spoiler alerts for that. I think I told you. I watched that episode and I was angry. Like, I was, like, angrier after having seen it.
It was funny because when we had seen each other on Saturday, you would ask me if I had watched it, and I said I hadn't. And so you were like, Grant, there was literally a moment where I, like, yelled out loud. I was like, oh, come on. And I watched it today, and there was 3 instances. I was like, oh, this could have been the one that David. Oh, no, it could have been that. It could have been. So what one was it? What was the moment that you were just, like, kind of yelled out at the TV? Because in my mind, there was 3 scenes.
Okay. Do you want to tell me, or do you want me to... Who goes first? Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, just tell me which one it was.
It was... I'm just looking at my notes to make sure there's nothing else. Oh, yeah, there's at least 2. But the first one, and probably the one that I was talking about, was the stupid edge shot, I'm going to become this kid's heart scene. Yeah. That was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That character is stupid. Like, and it's insulting, and it's been going on so long.
Yeah.
I know. I don't want to, like, personally attack the author, but I'm getting closer. No, I'm kidding. But I get this vibe that, like, you know, we've seen different and more superior shows, anime shows, whatever, IP, be, like, in this environment where, like, secondary character makes major sacrifice in order for primary character to live on.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to feel that burn, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't
think Krillin. Of
any... Krillin, yeah, sure, yeah. Whatever. But the design and the intent is like, you're killing a character, you're reducing the head count, but you're making it feel earned, right? And yeah. But like, nothing about this is earned. It's dumb. I don't care about Ed Schott. He's been on screen, that's true. But I have no reason to care about his character. We didn't even fully understand the depths of his quirk and like the fact that that's even an option until this moment. And also, it better not fucking work. Like, we talked about it. Like, that whole the whole death was actually decent.
It was incredible, dude. And we had talked about it the last time we recorded. Like, I'm not trying to say it was like one of the all-time greatest death.
It was good for my hero.
On that. It was great for my hero. I thought it was great for the character of Bakugo. You know, like, I think we did say I would have loved like a little more time of like him figuring it out and like, you know, speaking on a little more.
But it was a tragic death. That's the point, right? Like, we were robbed of it.
Yeah. It was tragic. It was a last ditch thing. And it felt right. Like, not, you know what I mean? But like, and it's one of like the only, like, I don't know, like five super high moments they've had in the past like 5 years.
Yeah.
Genuinely. I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, they have not been running that hot. And it was a huge moment, and it really, really worked for me. And they, without skipping a beat, they're already backtracking it. Like, it's
wild.
Like, fuck, man. You know, and there's that. And then I thought maybe it was All For One getting the friggin' the blood bag there, like going back in time.
Yeah.
But I came back around on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it was just, it was, you know, like that whole thing. It's like, I get it. Like, I knew Ares' powers were going to come back into play. Like, again, they haven't even really talked about, like, how they got Mirio to work back, you know, his powers or the million.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they still had some blood samples from whenever. But, like, the fact that they did it, it was one of those things I think we knew was going to happen maybe at some point. Like, it was, that storyline was so, like, totted and so, like, lasted so long. They were definitely going to go back to it. But the thing I loved about it in the end is, you know, like, as a villain, All For One hasn't always, like, super worked for me. He, like, has always kind of screamed, like, you know, just, like, kind of, like, bad guy for bad to be bad kind of thing. Like, it got a little better when we got the stuff with his brother and we found out, you know, One For All and whatnot. Agreed. But he had, like, a really good monologue in this where he was just kind of talking about, like, his intentions of... And to me, kind of like made it like him more of like a more dimensional villain, where his whole goal, they ask like, oh, why are you like this or whatever. I can't even remember the context of like why he's bad. And he makes reference to comic books and he's kind of like shitting on them saying, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. This is going to be stupid. But like, he kind of like takes like I am right now. He's taking a while to get to his point, but he was saying like, yeah, they were just like bad to be bad and da da da. He's like, my goal is like, I don't want anyone to have a future. He's like, I want to take that away. And it was just, I don't know, it was the line delivery, and it was the scene, mm-hmm. and you kind of see they're all fucking scared and this and that. Like, you know, he's like back at like prime power. And like, for him to say, like, yeah, like, this is going to kill me. Like, this is like a last ditch attempt.
Yeah.
You know, and he even gives like Endeavor props, like, didn't think I'd have to use this with you, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was just the delivery. I thought it was cool. The whole, like, oh, you know what? It's a little late in the game.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that, like, you know, he kills people and he's done this, he's tortured people, he's made out, you know, they've said he's done all the things, he's got to take it at face value that he is bad. But
yeah.
To hear him, like, deliver a line like that, I'm like, oh, this is a bad dude. Like, you know, and I get it. But, you know, so it's, I don't know, it kind of won me over.
I don't hard disagree. I've always liked the voice actor they use for All For One. And I agree, like, you know, like all, like, even in well-written anime, sometimes, like, there's, like, people be monologuing, right?
Yeah.
And the translations often doesn't serve the story optimally. Mm. But I didn't mind that. I was annoyed by the rewind thing. But when, to your point, they were like, oh, but it will, like, fucking kill him. I was like, oh, okay. Like, if you're about to be like, oh, he's just 100% back, I was like, dude, like...
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This better.
Like, we only have like 8 episodes left. We don't have time for this.
Yeah. The other moment was also the Lemillion like butt thing. Yeah. That was also stupid. But I was sincerely out of fucks. Like, I was like, I don't want to sound like such a grumpy old man, but we're getting to the point where we're gonna have to embrace that's what I am.
Was that why you were quoting Night Eye or Nighthawk drunk in the car the other night? You were in the back seat, kept making references to Nighthawk or Nighteye.
Oh, yeah. Because that was his...
And I think you were quoting him from this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, why are you saying that?
It's a... Well, you know what happens when people drink, Grant? The trauma memories come out. That's what happened.
It was so funny. I was, like, sitting there, and the second I saw him, I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's what Dave was talking like that the other
day. Yeah, no, that's 100% where it came from. That, like, silly Lemillion thing would be, like, something to bitch about on in a regular episode of MHA, but, like, I just think I was so at the end of my rope by the time that happened. I was irritated by it. Deku shows up.
Good shot.
The Tomura, like, growth form changing thing is interesting. I'm curious to see, like, it does make visually, it's a little bit messy. So I'm curious to see, like, how good this fight looks. Because they've been building to this.
Well, I think they're kind of, because they made the point that his body is, like, inherently reacting. So, like, you know, all, like, the, you know, the FMA Brotherhood animation is now gone. For the hands, all I can think back is Envy. It's like it's borderline the same technology from like 2009.
Oh, you're talking about when Envy's in like his main green form.
Yeah, yeah.
The CG.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah.
We
have a lot of thoughts on CG. The CG in Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood, when used like for Envy mostly, is like obviously not great, but it holds up today.
For the time, it's
completely viewable. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought it was cool, like to have like fingers and hands over his face again. You know.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
With classic that. Shigaraki. It was like I hate that he gave up that look.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty one of the coolest things about him. His OG look there, like in the black pants and sweatshirt, and the hand over his face there, like he looks so dumb with the cape. But anyways,
we got to give him a little bit of credit. Like you know, one thing that is that we do see over time is how these characters have changed. Right. That he quite literally looked like a teenager in that old one.
Yep.
And it's interesting to see how far everybody's come. You know, like the teacher missing the leg and now an eye.
Eraser?
Yeah, Eraser is all beat up. All the heroes have scars now. Like they're showing like how things have become intense, and I appreciate that.
It's been a bad year.
We're they've had a rough time. We're heading towards a conclusion.
They're still in their first year of school there, Dave.
Dude. Like, that's so, so, so wild. All right. I don't want to keep talking about this. I'll just bitch about it more. Can I tell you about Ripley?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ripley, the Netflix series, is it Andrew Scott who stars? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alongside Dakota Fanning and Johnny Flynn. I think there might be 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. I just finished episode 4.
Ooh, that's where I'm at.
Are you about to watch for, or have you got one? Well, let me ask you this,
Marker.
What's the last major plot point that you saw?
Oh.
Because we're in and around, and spoiler warning for the beginning of Ripley. Or should we not do spoilers? Do you want to just like keep it surface level?
Yeah, let's keep it surface level.
Okay, because there are like pretty major plot points that happen around this period.
Yeah, I think he's leaving the villa in Italy.
Okay, yeah, so... this is one of the most beautiful shows I've seen.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe.
I don't use the... We were in a cab together. I was like, dude, like Ripley is so up your alley, man. Like,
yeah. Maybe ever, dude. Like, I'm trying to think of things that have similar production quality. I will admit, black and white won't be for everybody. And you do got to wonder how much black and white really makes some of these shots stand out, because I feel like some of them may not pop as much in color, which I know is like counterintuitive.
But I gotta say, like, they, you know, like, it's interesting because like when you shoot something in that type of scenery and like that location, you know, you want the color, you want the vibe, you can see the color of the wind, like it's all like one thing. But there's something so distinct and so well designed that like you don't even like you don't need the assistance from like the location itself is enough. Like all the fixings, I don't know. I just think I think it's beautiful. Like
it's breathtaking. You know. What they made Italy look like a fucking paradise. And I mean, by all accounts, it's quite nice. Yeah. But oh my god, does it ever make you want to go to Italy? Like it's and he goes to some other places. But the location shooting is unbelievable. The cinematography, just like the way they do landscapes, the way they have a sense of scale, the framing. I think like this podcast has definitely made me more like appreciate the technical things.
Sure.
But I definitely think I'm picking up stuff I never would have before.
Oh, this is a very, lots like focusing shots.
And, oh
like,
my God, man.
You know, kind of, you know, look over here, but you know, you should be looking at the other side of the screen. Like it's, yeah, very, very intentional stuff.
It's, we were talking about how Apple is cutting budgets on Apple TV spend a week or two ago on the pod. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And one of the things they're spending the most money on was like $20 million an episode on Severance.
It's crazy.
I'd be so curious to hear what this thing costs, because this is like arguably nicer. It couldn't be a different, more different environment show in general. Mm. But like they're on like a similar level just in terms of production quality. It's pretty like just unbelievable.
Are you familiar with Andrew Scott? Have you seen other stuff with him in it?
So,
watch Fleabag, eh?
Yes, I did. Fleabag is my go-to answer. Have you seen him in that? You've seen all of Fleabag?
I watched it per your recommendation when I was sick a couple months ago. I kind of ripped through both seasons.
I was going to say season two as well. Eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fantastic in Fleabag.
He's so good. Did you ever watch Sherlock?
Sherlock.
With Benedict Cumberbatch?
Oh.
The BBC.
Oh, yeah, Moriarty, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's
fucking psycho in that.
Yeah, he wasn't he just up for an Oscar or something in something like an artsy movie?
All of Us Strangers. Yeah, that was another one I wanted to watch. Never got around to it.
Me neither. But so clearly an interesting guy with, like you said, range.
Hmm.
I will admit, if anyone's gonna watch Ripley based off our recommendation, because it sounds like we're both pretty high on it, and I think we are.
Slow burn. Huge slow burn.
Just the first couple episodes are a bit of a slow setup, and it's tricky because I want to say the first 10 minutes of that first episode are like, okay, we're moving, like we got a purpose, we're doing something, it's kind of a crash course on the character, and then you get to like his mission and things slow right down for only, you know, episode and a half or so. But where I'm at now, and I just finished 4, it has picked right back up, and it's like I'm enthralled is the word I would use. I'm like so captivated by the story, by the character he's playing, Ripley. Can't wait to see how it all ends up.
You know, it's, I think one of my favorite things about it is, it must be intentional. I haven't read any of the Ripley books, or like, I've never seen The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
You know, And like the choice of using this in black and white is, you know, is pretty correct, because it kind of hits like the old school, like not necessarily Hitchcock, but like the, you know, the 50s and 60s, like the thrillers, like the paranoia thrillers.
Yeah.
And you know, again, a lot of those were in black and white, you know, especially in the 50s and all that. And you kind of get that vibe, like as each episode progresses, like there's not so much like paranoia amongst the characters. Like there is like a lot of natural suspicion.
Yeah.
But I felt as a viewer, like every episode of like, I don't know, like I am the one that feels paranoid. Like, I don't know how this person's going to react to that. Or, you know, like it's so like, you know,
makes kind you of feel uneasy,
very uneasy. And again, and you know, without, you know, it's not a horror or anything.
Not
like
at all.
It's not even quite so much a thriller. It's, but it just kind of has this, you know, kind of like paranoia drama feeling to it.
Yeah.
It's really good, dude. Like
drama thriller, not scary per se. So like if you're one of these super horror averse people like me, like I don't watch a lot of horror, and this sets off zero alarm bells. Like I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say enough positive stuff about Ripley. What do you want to talk about now? Kind of thing?
Do you want to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine?
Oh, dude. How was that not in my notes? we saw Deadpool and Wolverine. Okay, this is tricky. What is our spoiler approach here?
Let's not. It's only... I didn't realize. I thought it was out longer than it was, but we had seen it second weekend, so...
Yeah,
let's just talk about what we enjoyed. And, you know,
yeah, okay, so...
Or whatever.
We saw it on the weekend, obviously. We saw it at a nice matinee.
And fuck, that was a sick theater, dude.
Sick theater.
I cannot get over that.
Undisclosed location. But Moscow has beautiful theaters, and but they had the recliners. You can get booze everywhere now. They had those little snack-sized popcorns. Grant, we got a free treat too. I hesitate to call it free.
I totally forgot mine in Shane's freezer. I'm fucking pissed.
Oh, I'll be upset. I found it in my man bag when I got home. Sam was like, "Why do you have mini eggs in there?" And I was like, "Why do you ask so many questions all the time?" Okay. Let's start with the good.
Yeah.
I would say, and I doubt this is true, but if this is the last we see of Deadpool, I think it was a fantastic send-off.
Sure.
I think it was a strong movie, and you and I and Shane, the the third we saw the movie with, we were all talking about, we kind of had different answers for which Deadpool movie was our favorite.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of a good sign, right? I agree. It's not like something is, one of them is blowing them out of the water, but this was, recency bias is very real, right? So like, let's revisit this in a year. But at the moment, Deadpool and Wolverine was probably my favorite of the three. Okay, you go. You go before we get into more.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's funny because it's the one that a lot of people don't like. But I liked two. I think it was more just like the supporting cast was really great. I think because they had Colossus in that one. And then they had, you know.
Really loved Cable.
Cable, and then even like the, was it Negasonic Teenage Warhead or whatever? Like, I thought she was funny. It was funny to see her for like a hot second.
The introduction of the X-Force. There's lots to like about that second movie.
It was fun, you know, like the whole, like the tryouts and all that. But, yeah. I don't know. It was like, I really liked Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, like it's, I think having, you know, some time away from it and kind of thinking back on it and, you know, just reading online, I think as like a part of like the MCU, it's kind of like, I think it just kind of made things a little more messy for no reason. You know, people trying to figure out like next steps, but like, I'm just like enjoying it for what it is as the Deadpool movie. And like, you know, with the benefit of, you know, like, it's, you know, like for like non-fans and all that, like it's, you know, a little hard to wrap your head around it. But like, I know the shtick, I know the fourth wall, I know like he inherently knows everything and this and that, and everything just kind of fits. So if you just kind of like take it as like an isolated thing, I think it's like a stellar comedy, you know, and like, you know, property wise, it can crack jokes, but
action comedy, rated
action
R.
Action comedy. Yeah. But like what they're trying to do with like trying to shoehorn, or even like kind of like not even shoehorn, but kind of like maybe divert the water a little bit, like using it as like a bit of a dam and a runoff, I don't think it's gonna work out as well as like they're, it feels like jammed in, you know what I mean?
Which
I think
part?
That's what it just mean? As a whole, like trying to fit it into the MCU
and
trying to answer for the things to come and what has happened. I think that was incredibly messy and like didn't really I don't know what their goal was with this movie, but I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like, is
I think we will look back, and this is definitely not spoiler territory. Like, yeah. I think it's in the name. I think this is probably the one and only, well, I don't want to say only, but at the moment it is, the one and only, like, tweener movie that kind of bridges the gap between the Fox universe and the MCU. Mm. And to your point, it's definitely not clean, right? Mm. Like, it is interesting that they were able to solve some problems and get rights to certain characters that you wouldn't expect. I think like one thing that everybody knows, whether or not you've seen the movie, just based off the headlines, is like the, you know, there's a very high amount of cameos, many that are surprising. And it's neat that they worked all that out, and it makes sense because like they have all these rights now. But yeah, I'm not super interested in seeing more movies like this, right? Where it's like, okay, let's like give all these characters a, you know, put them all to bed, and then you got to reintroduce all of the new ones, and you got to integrate Deadpool into existing plot lines that go on. Like, to your point, like, it does seem difficult to avoid having an MCU film without at least propping up existing saga-wide storylines. Mm. Like, and that's not a spoiler. I just mean, like, it's hard for a movie to, like, have a contained story in the MCU at this stage. And I don't know if like I'm super interested in watching, like, let's just say, let's pretend for a second, you know, Jonathan Majors was still in as Kang. Sure. It's like, do you have a ton of interest in like a Deadpool 4 where it's like him like popping in and out of like different heroes fighting Kang? It's like, I kind of want Deadpool to be Deadpool in his own movie outside of all this shit, you know?
Yeah, well,
again, maybe that's part of the charm. Like, he comes in and fucks things up for other people. Like, chaotic good kind of style.
I almost wonder if what they're going to do is, like, because, you know, like, again, when we were talking about this weekend, it's like, the cat is out of the bag when it comes to all the, you know, the multiverse traversal stuff and this and that. I think they could use the Deadpool movies going forward as, like, you know, avenue A for all the multiverse stuff, where they can hop around. It is multiple this, multiple that. They can get goofy. You know, they have people on contracts. They can kind of pull in their key players to do this, this, and that, whether it's a bit part or a full run in the movie. But I think going forward, I think on like the main track of Marvel and the MCU is, I think like they can't get rid of the multiverse stuff because it's going to be a huge part of Fantastic Four. Because they've already said it's like, or it's been hinted at that they're going to be in a different universe compared to 616, and there is going to be some convergence. I think they're just going to keep to like one or two, not get super messy, like, because, you know, before it's, you know, with the Loki stuff and all the TVA, like, we've, you know, in an episode or a show, in a movie, you see like, you know, 10 different iterations. I think they're just going to reduce their number. They're never going to be able to close it off, ever. Like,
yeah, you know, they opened Pandora's box, right? Like, you went down this road.
Yeah, so they're going to, like I said, I think it'll be a little more structured and more focused, and they're going to have a little bit of growing pains for, like, some, you know, which we'll get into in a minute there, like, you know, a couple new villains and stuff like that, and bringing everything back to the main, or I guess, what, you know, the, whatever, like, the 616, which is, like, the main line or
the main MCU. Sacred timeline.
The sacred timeline, thank you. So, I don't know, dude, it's, talking about it, like, I'm exhausted. And it's been a 5-minute conversation. Like, it's silly. It's truly silly. And I think the best thing about this Deadpool movie is it kind of just flies in the face of how fucking silly all this has been.
Yeah.
And how a bit of a failure it was. And,
yeah,
you know, there's, like, going back, just, like, some of the jokes, like, again, like, I know it's, you know, they're making hundreds of million dollars out of this movie, so they don't really care. But, like, some of the jokes at the expense of, like, the powers that be are, like, kind of priceless. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah. I've been watching some spoiler interviews about, like, how did you get that in the movie? Yeah. Like, one, that's easy to give away because it's in the trailer. I think that's fair, right? In the trailer, they talk about, and this is the trailer they put out, like, 6 months ago, about, you know, they say, the one thing Feige doesn't want is cocaine, or, and then there's all these jokes about even angel dust, and they did try to use all these euphemisms or slang terms for coke. And the ironic part about that was, like Feige, when they were making the movie, it was like, hey, if you're gonna use, like, certain assets, like, let's say, like, if you're gonna use the TVA, it's like, you know, make them look the same as they look in Loki. Like, that's not a big ask, right? Or if you were gonna bring in, like, an existing asset from the MCU, like, oh, actually, it shows the TVA in the trailer, so I don't have to dance around that. But he just said, make the look consistent. And also, I really don't like the drug use. But, like, the rest, like, go ahead. Like, nudity, rated R, decapitations. Yeah. I just don't want to... I would rather not show them using cocaine.
Sure.
And then that night, they wrote that joke about Feige not wanting cocaine in it. And they put it in the script for his review. And he was like, yeah, all right. That works.
Yeah that works. But I do got to say, if there's one bad thing, the first, outside of, like, the opening, there's, like, an opening action set piece, which is probably, like, worth the ticket of admission alone. It was very good.
Yeah. Are you talking about the opening credit sequence?
The opening credit sequence.
Yeah.
But after that, there's this, no exaggeration, everyone listen, there's like 10 to 15 minutes from that to where, like, the story kind of kicks off again.
Yeah.
It just does not fucking work at all. It is one of these, I was so bored. I was like, can we please get the movie going? It was just like, it's not really a spoiler. It's just like Wade Wilson being in, like, a bit of a slump. Doesn't, you know, has no direction. You know, there's a, you know, one of the first cameos, he has like a sit down interview. Did not work for me at all. I was like, this is excruciatingly bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's one of like the least funny things.
I don't even remember what it was.
Well, he has the interview with,
Oh, yes.
Got it. And it just, like, all that, and, like, him, like, you know, slumping at home, and there's, like, a birthday party thing and all that. And, like, it takes, like I said, at least 10 minutes. And it's so, so dragged along, and making us care about the relationship with the girlfriend that he brought back in the second one and all this and stuff. And it's just like, and then the movie kicks in 10 minutes later, and it's just not an issue after that. It's like, holy cow. Like,
the movie is a roller coaster, but they're doing all these press interviews, right? About, like, oh, we actually wrote 18 drafts of this movie. It took us so long to crack it, but we cracked it. And it was really Hugh who cracked it and this and that. But a lot of what they were struggling with, and I think it's still evident, to be honest, is they were trying to find, like, what's the why? Like, what's the driving force? And to be fair, you don't really care once Deadpool and Wolverine are together, because then the movie is, like, taking off.
It writes itself.
It writes itself. But, like, you do need a why. And, like, I didn't really care about Deadpool's. And Wolverine's made a bit more sense, but I also didn't care. Because, you know, and that's, I don't know, man. The why, the deeper meaning stuff, they really struggled with that, I felt, in Deadpool 2, where they had these whole, like, this inner turmoil he was battling. It's tricky because you want to make him a character that is, like, genuinely struggling, because you imagine that he would be, given his circumstance. But you make that like 10% of his makeup, and the other 90% is like fourth wall breaking, insane profanity and violence. You kind of sometimes just want to forget about like the why with him. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Because they want him to be a real character with like real thoughts and feelings and motivations, and it's hard to like see that mm-hmm. sometimes. It's tricky. They did nail it in the first movie, but I've just had a hard time with him. The moment he put on the suit, he's not really Wade Wilson anymore.
No.
Right?
No, he's Deadpool.
And I don't feel like I need to understand his why. He's out of his fucking mind. I don't know. But all that said, enjoy the movie. Mm-hmm. Great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack.
The cameos are good, mostly.
You had that interesting little tidbit about Madonna.
Yeah, there's a Madonna song, and they were talking about it on the press tour, about how they had to pitch it to her face. Because she does not license her music very often. And specifically that song, which I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know it offhand. And I knew it was her, but I didn't know which one it was.
And about 15 minutes too long.
Yeah, well, that, like I'm saying, that first 15 minutes could knock that out.
Yeah, there were moments there. There were moments in the middle, towards the end. I was like, you know, you could find your 15 minutes by yanking two-minute chunks here and there, you know?
It was funny, like, you know, we were talking about it as we were walking out of the theater, and I was like, there was literally a moment where I was like, fuck, this movie is, like, has officially gone on too long, and then within 30 seconds, there is a joke where, you know, Deadpool, a small spoiler, he, like, kind of, like, turns to the audience, like, hold on, folks, we're almost there.
Yeah, we're in the home
stretch. And I was like, okay, I'm in, you know, like, we're good, and it was, like, literally, it was, like, 10 more minutes, but,
yeah
it was, no, I enjoyed it. It was good to see it, good theater, good friends.
First MCU movie I've seen in years, and we had said that together on this pod. Like, when it comes out, we will see it. I'm happy that we did.
I'm trying to think. I think the last one I saw was Black Panther 2, I guess, technically.
Oh, I don't know if I still haven't seen that, actually.
It was okay.
Probably Spider-Man for me.
Oh, after okay. Yeah. When was Multiverse of Madness? That was a couple years ago.
Oh, no, I saw that too. Okay.
That was good. I like that one. I think that's been the best one. I like that one more than this, but...
Yeah. Okay, so that was Deadpool and Wolverine. Curious to see where they go from here. Should we just get into news? Because there's MCU-related stuff I want to talk about, but should we do a quickie review of Elusive Samurai first?
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Because I'm one episode behind. I suck. I know. Okay. I know, it's the traveling, okay?
Yeah, you've had a busy week.
I've had a very busy time. But I think what we're in, I'm on episode 4 and 5, is like their first like double episode plot point.
Oh wait, so you've seen 5?
I don't know. I'm in what feels like the first half of this dog shooting contest.
My God, dude.
On horseback.
Hilarious.
It's legit funny. Didn't love the CG, shocker.
It continues a little bit into the next episode.
Okay, I was curious, like, how long is this going to go for? I figured, like, it would be... Because lately, or not lately, but so far what they've done is, like, they kind of have an adventure per episode. And I was like, okay, maybe this one goes a little bit longer. And it did. But I'll probably watch that tonight or tomorrow. But
it's funny, I was like, I had watched them today, actually.
And... the eyes.
I was thinking to myself, I wrote it in my notes, I was like, has there been like a just a better like absolute asshole than this guy like in anime in a long time? Like, this dude, between like the eyes and like just the vocal performance, which I love because it's the same voice as the narrator from Kaguya-sama, Love is War.
Of course.
So it just like a very comedic voice, like an association to that voice is comedy and kind of, you know, like jokes per minute or whatever, or a very dry delivery. This guy's like that same register, but like, you know, loud and kind of obnoxious and all that. But when I saw that CG, I was like, the ball's dropped. Like, this is not good. And I was like, okay, well, we'll get through it. And then, you know, I watch episode 5 and like the next, like there's continuation of that, but it still looks the same. And it's like, it's okay. It's not the greatest. But then by the end of the episode, there's, like, other stuff going on, and they're back to, like, truly beautiful animation. And I was like, oh, it's just... I think they just have a hard time with horses. Like,
yeah, it could have been the horses or the... the story... Yeah. I
think it's funny. I honestly think it was the horses, because Attack on Titan had the exact same issue. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes you just save the time where you have to. I don't know. God, it'd be great to get, like, a... It'd be great to get like an animation expert on here sometime and just talk about like, what do you think is going on in like these specific areas
in this scene?
Yeah. Yeah, but otherwise, like, I absolutely love it. I filmed Talk of the Tick for the youths that I'm going to put out later this week.
You're sick.
Part-time otaku podcast on the TikTok. Advertising Elusive Samurai. No, kind of
it's so good, dude. Probably it's so beautiful.
I think I said it's probably the best anime on right now. I mean, it's competing against My Hero. It's not that big of a stretch.
I'm watching, like, right now my two shows are this and Oshinoko, and they're not even remotely the same, but, like, awesome.
That's
dude,
true.
I had a guy at the gas station Sunday morning give me ups on my Oshinoko shirt. And I was like, fuck, yeah, dude, nice. That's a good feeling.
Hell
but,
yeah. Real recognizes yeah, is real.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the stuff come out of the Olympics?
Yeah, dude. Ultra Gear 4 is everywhere.
High Gear 4 is everywhere. Haikyuu soundtrack playing when the Japan team won. Mm-hmm. Goku's Ultra Instinct theme. I saw
a lot
players...
of Luffy stances. A lot of Luffy gear stances.
I saw people doing Gojo's domain expansion.
There's a lot of those, yeah.
Love it. Love it. We're here. We're not here to take part. We're here to take over.
I saw Anonymy, like, tie fix.
Let's go.
That was a cool one. What else did I see? Jojo. Oh, there's a JoJo pose, of course.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We don't discriminate. I love it. Bring it to the world stage.
Yeah, dude. But no, the Elusive Samurai, everyone should be watching. It is truly, truly, like, I don't, like, they just do such a good job at, like, setting up the historical significance of these characters. And they, it might be in episode 5, but it's a part of the continuation. So this isn't a spoiler for you, Dave, but, like, they kind of, like, drop a reference of, like, who this dude is. And, or maybe it was in episode 4, they kind of talk about the significance of his archery, and they kind of connect it to, like, modern day archery how his legacy still kind of carries on to this 21st century.
I think so, because I knew that he was the shit. They got that in the character intro.
So, like, I don't know, I really like the stuff they do with that, the history, and, like, you know, like, there is some mysticism. Oh, dude, the shot with, oh, fuck, what episode is this? Is it 4 or 5? Fuck.
Don't spoil it, bro.
No, it's 4. The dude that the main character is trying to hunt down, his servant is, like, talking to him of, like, oh, like, you know, I don't like that smile. You know, you don't have that smile on your face like you used to and all that, sir. And he kind of turns and he has, like, you see his eyes?
Yeah.
You remember that?
I think
so. Was
that
in episode 4? Just, like, the shot of, like, all the, like, the devil eyes within the one eye. Just, like, it just shows, like...
Oh, yes. I saw it. Yes.
The way they blend in, like, the, you know, mysticism and some, like, you know, kind of, like, demonic beings, whether they are there or they're not, or, like, kind of... Just the... Like, that's the thing. Like, I still don't know if... Because there is, like, a magical element to the show, because the priest guy can see the future. Dude, I laughed so hard at the joke of, like, in the future, like, this is considered animal cruelty. Like, people are going to hate this, which is
the best fourth wall break.
Dude, like, because, like, they let you sit with the dogs getting hit with arrows for, like, a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then they explain, you're just like, oh, that's, like, a really weird fucking thing for them to do. And then, dude, it's incredible.
It's a perfect nod to, like, yeah. We know this is weird, but it's what happened. And would you rather us, like, not, like, you know, change it entirely so you feel more comfortable? It's like, no, like, show the thing and then acknowledge it. That's just, like, a really cool way to like, a nod to the audience and be like, no, like, this is legit.
But the thing that I really like is they do a really good balance. I think you see more of it in the second half of the fifth episode is, yes, all these kids are his vassals. Yes, like, you know, like, they are kids. So, but they do a good job of, like, balancing, like, they are fighting for a cause. Even children can be helpful. Like, they're all, they really show, like, how they're all affected by this conflict and, like, the state of the world and kind of, you know, the time period. And because, you know, I'm sure there was some truth to that. But then, again, like, they also do a good job showing, like, they are kids and they are, like, they have to have fun. And, you know, like, they're growing up. Like, you can kind of see them all growing up and you can see them getting closer by the end of the fifth episode. And they edit the OP a little bit in the fifth episode. You'll see when you watch it.
Ooh.
But, you can definitely tell, like...
Love an edited OP.
Yeah, edited. Love it. Oh, all weekend. Anyways. But, everyone, if you're not watching Lucifer Samurai, you're missing out. It's phenomenal.
Hop on the bandwagon.
Get it.
All right, you want to do some quick news?
Let's get it.
Okay. Some of these are sincerely quick. I don't even know why it has a spot here. It doesn't deserve it, but it's official. The My Hero Academia manga has ended.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly to be followed, I'm sure, by an announcement of some kind of sequel. You know that Lazarus anime that like people have been pushing super hard about, like, mm-hmm. oh, it's the creator of Cowboy Bebop? It doesn't come out till 2025.
I think we knew that.
I don't know if I knew that.
They had announced that in 2023, the beginning of 2023, and they had said 2025.
Okay, so speaking of other things, so that's ridiculous, but whatever. Yeah. I will watch it. We will watch it.
For sure.
But similar tone, or similar in that this has also been delayed. We talked about it a bit on the weekend, that Uzumaki horror anime. Have you seen the trailers?
No, I'm trying. That's one I want to go in blind, because I'm not sure if Uzumaki is like a short story collection or if it's a singular story.
Me neither. I'm going in blind other than the trailer. I wanted to know what the vibe was going to be like. It's black and white and it looks unsettling. And I've never watched a horror anime.
We talked like ad nauseum this weekend about like horror movies and what you should jump. Also, like, for the record, Shane was wrong. Like, you should watch Midsommar. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Oh, he's out of his mind, dude.
Yeah. no, dude. Like, I am shocked. This is like jumping into like the deep end of like horror stuff like this, but that's the thing too. Like it might not fly because historically, like, there's never been a good adaptation of his work, and he's been like very vocal about that, and that's why he is directly involved with this one, working in tandem. So like, you know, because even Netflix had one last year. It was like Junji Ito mystery to whatever, it was something or whatever, and like it was just not good. Like I couldn't get through it. I was like, ugh, this is fucking bad.
Interesting.
But no,
we'll see. Midsommar sounds like a good jumping off point. I don't know. Okay, and then this is before we get into the MCU, we'll get into the parody of the MCU. Vought Rising announced, starring Jensen Ackles and Aya Cash.
Hmm.
On Prime Video, so that'll be the third.
That's Soldier Boy and Stormfront?
Yes. And also, 1950s, like, prequel.
There's also supposed to be The Boys Mexico, isn't there?
I have no idea.
They announced that as well. I think they announced three new
Good
shows.
Good lord.
Yeah.
I saw George R. Martin, you know, you mentioned him earlier talking about Hot D. I think he said, you know, obviously not everything will make it to film and whatnot, but I think he said there are currently up to 7... A Song of Ice and Fire related properties in varying stages of development at HBO.
Oh, there was a teaser for Dunkin' Egg.
Dunkin' Egg, yeah. That one's legit. It's actually happening.
Yeah.
Probably
That's
next filmed. Year.
That's in the can.
Yeah. Wild. They're next just gonna... Year. No wonder guy can't get any fucking writing done. He's busy cashing checks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the major news was, which it feels like years ago this was announced, but Robert Downey Jr. makes his return to the MCU as Dr. Doom.
Stupid.
With Avengers Doomsday slated for 2025, with Joe and Anthony Russo set to return to direct. A couple notes on compensation here. Sources say Marvel's paying Joe and Anthony $80 million to come back for both Avengers back-to-back movies. But they're paying significantly more, end quote, for Downey to take on the Doctor Doom villain in the neighborhood of $100 million total. But both deals include some form of back-end compensation based on performance of the film. So... For the Russos, probably all's well that ends well, right?
Sure.
It seems like they perform best in a studio environment,
mm-hmm.
and are probably best in this area. I think it'd need to bring back Marcus and McFeely.
Mm.
Those are the guys that wrote the last two Cap movies and the last two Avengers movies.
Have they been involved with Marvel since those?
No.
No.
Okay. Which is interesting, and, you know, you could perhaps... chalk something up there about, like, you know, the writing talent leaving and the subsequent quality drop. I don't know. There have been a lot of takes on the RDJ thing. Okay, let's get the obvious out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
It seems likely, you know, for and we don't have a crystal ball, but I think the prevailing sentiment right now, the prevailing take is that it's probably like it's not just Dr. Doom showing up and he just so happens to be played by RDJ. That's probably silly. What is more likely is that he's like a variant from a different multiverse, and the Avengers will be, I don't know, hurt and confused at having to fight their old friend who's not actually their old friend. Is that remotely in the neighborhood of what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so, I guess. Like, I don't know. It's hard to tell, because we are going to be getting we are going to be getting Fantastic Four before, because he's like a, you know, traditionally a Fantastic Four villain.
And you mentioned they're from a different multiverse, right?
They have said that already.
But, so, I don't know. Makes sense.
It's going to be like a Jetsons, like kind of like old school future, you know, kind of like 50s. I think that's the vibe they're going for. Yeah. 50s era future or whatever.
Interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I do too. But I don't know. Like, it's like I'm not like so against it. Like, I think, you know, we were talking about it, you know, this weekend, and it was like, you know, like they're not going to pay him to not show his face, right? Like,
yeah,
I think it would be a move to like him show up, just total vocal, essentially vocal performance, and, you know, he show his face like a couple times there, but like, you know, just like act the shit out of it, like play a villain. I don't want a funny Dr. Doom. I don't want like tongue in cheek, like, you know,
if he does his
Tony Stark,
yeah, if he does his charisma thing instead of the bad guy thing, like he's already taking a, you know, and like I know this sounds like silly shit because they're fucking comic book movies,
yeah,
but like, you know, Iron Man has a legit legacy on top of like being at the head of the largest and most valuable franchise in cinematic history. Like, he had a good death. It actually landed against all odds. He walked away with like dignity. It was a little long in the tooth, but not so long that people were happy to see him go. Mm-hmm. It was the perfect fucking out.
Yeah.
And he's coming back. And fine, you can be like, oh, it's technically not him coming back. He's coming back.
He's coming back
for a payday. So like, do not fuck this up. You know what I mean? Like, you're already up against it, and maybe you don't care. You get an extra $100 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know what I mean? The stakes are high. Like, just don't, like, you know, you're coming off an Oscar. Act.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, I really hope they don't. It's hard because, like, it is such a mess. But, like, you know, I remember when, like, this second Avengers movie came out, like, Ultron was a huge deal. Because, like, I think, you know, the biggest bad is, like, some of the most notable characters over the years. Like, you know, I think the three that come to mind for me, Marvel side, is, you know, Ultron, Thanos, and Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
And, like, they, you know, they got in and out with Ultron. They fucked that one up. So, you know, I think that was more of a Joss Whedon thing. I really hope they do. I hope there's, like, an effort in Fantastic Four to tee up Doctor Doom and not just like a stinger and like a little thing here and there, like, you know, like, you know, and just like a quirky background, you know, line from RDJ. Like, I don't know. Like, I that's the thing too. Like, I almost hope he is a villain in Fantastic Four, right? Like, I hope like has like a on screen presence, because, you know, because traditionally, I think, you know, Mr. Fantastic, and he's not a member of the Fantastic Four, but like, I feel like they worked in tandem before.
Yeah,
whatever happens to him, happens to them. So like, you know, I don't know. It would, seeing him and Pedro go back and forth or whatever, and kind of like the rest of the crew. But I don't know. It's, well, I think what, next year, end of next year, is supposed to be Fantastic Four.
They have time though. Like, they do. They have a real shot.
They have tons of time.
You know what I mean? Like, and who knows, man? As far as like the accountants are concerned, like, maybe firing Majors and having an excuse to swap in another villain will benefit the overall saga and the whole storyline and all that. I'm very curious to see where they go, because I agree. I don't think he should be a one and done like Ultron. Like, get him in, give him an interesting character introduction of some kind in Fantastic Four, get him to fuck things up in 5, potentially 6. And see where it goes from there.
I still think they should take another swing at Ultron. I really wish they would.
Yeah, it's
even
tough.
Bring back James Spader. I thought, you know, it was.
I thought his voice was good.
Yeah, I would have. You know, I just think he said the whole idea, but like, again, it's so tied to Tony Stark and all that. It's kind of, might not, but
yeah,
it's a bummer.
Ah, well, we'll end up.
It'll
seeing
be fine.
It. Yeah.
Well, we're gonna see it.
Yeah. So. All right. Is that about it, my friend?
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing left. It was quite a week.
Yeah. Quite a week, but we still went for over an hour. Not too bad.
Yeah, dude. Hot D had us by the grip.
Hot
there.
D. Oh, one other thing we should mention, and we don't really know how we're going to like cover this. But we reserve that right. Is Grant and I both just got a present in the mail to ourselves? Mm-hmm. Let's be real. We're both currently reading Volume 1 of the, what is it, Grant? The Berserk Deluxe,
Edition. Yeah.
The big black Bible tomes.
Yeah.
You see with the beautiful red writing.
Beautiful leather bound
book. They're gorgeous. We're both very early in it. We're going to finish this deluxe version in our of Volume 1 in our own time. We have no major schedule. We'll just sort of keep each other in the loop.
Mm-hmm.
But we will talk about it. So if you're a Berserk fan, you know I've seen the 90s anime years ago. I was not particularly super stoked about it. But Berserk, the manga itself, is like a whole other thing. And we're very curious to see what all the hoopla is about.
Yeah.
So we're early, but already it looks pretty promising. So stay tuned. Keep an eye on the post-show titles, or maybe we'll do like a devoted episode to it. I don't know what we'll do, but we're excited to be able to review a manga, because we've never reviewed a manga before.
No. This is the one to do. This is the one to jump in for.
A new chapter, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Catch us in a couple weeks. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us, Part-Time Otaku Podcast, on Instagram and or the TikTok, and we'll see you in a little bit. Go ahead, Grant, say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.